Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Jim Garrity of National Review is off on the National Review cruise. Alexander DeSantis of National Review is here in his place. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Alexander, it's not just a Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, which is always our favorite, but it's a Friday edition before a holiday weekend. So happy Labor Day to you. Happy Labor Day to everyone listening. And just a reminder that we will be on vacation as a podcast next week. Both Jim and I will be away. Jim on the cruise, me on vacation. And there will be best of editions of the Three Martini Lunch posted and all the places you love to download it. So please keep looking for that. And then Jim and I will be back for our normal podcast starting on Monday, the 11th of September. So today we have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives as usual. Good martini comes courtesy of FoxNews.com, but this is news that's been reported a lot of different places. It's not official yet, though. President Trump, as early as Friday, is expected to announce plans to end the Obama administration program that gave a deportation reprieve to hundreds of thousands of young illegal immigrants, a senior administration official told Fox News. Trump promised to terminate the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, or DACA, during the presidential campaign, but since taking office had left the door open to preserving parts of it. According to the official, Trump is expected to announce the program's end, but will allow so-called dreamers currently in the program to stay in the U.S. until their work permits expire, which for some could be as long as 2 years. The White House suggested Thursday afternoon, though, that Trump has yet to give the final sign-off, and White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders told reporters at the Daily Briefing that the program is still under review. So this is obviously going to be very controversial. Alexandra, if he in fact goes through with this, you've already got folks who are pro-border security and limiting immigration, especially illegal immigration, saying that the president should allow this to lapse. Then the folks on the side of keeping the program say that this is going to bring people back to a state of anxiety and fear. So I think the good martini aspect here, first of all, it's probably the right call. Secondly, the way the Obama administration instituted this was clearly not right. That should have gone through Congress because they were changing the law, but they decided not to do that. So this would put it back perhaps on the right constitutional path to addressing this issue. And thirdly, from what I'm hearing at least, this could be a bargaining chip for a larger immigration bill that Trump wants to get done while he's president. So what's your take here?
Yeah, I mean, those latter two points to me are the most important. I think primarily, you know, no matter where you come down on the immigration debate, the fact of the matter is you can't have the president just sort of jumping in and doing whatever he feels like is the right move when Congress can't get a bill through. And Obama basically just said, well, the DREAM Act can't pass, so let me take matters into my own hands and sort of get this done. And it seems to me that even people in favor of looser immigration or, you know, the DREAM Act should approve of Trump ending this, because that's not the way things work in America. That's not how our Constitution is structured. And that's for a reason, because then the next guy who comes in can just turn it around and all that progress is gone. But then the latter part of that, I think a lot of people on the right are willing to even, you know, vote for something like the DREAM Act, which would pass DACA essentially legally through Congress, and trade that for something like an E-Verify program or a border wall, things like this, and use that kind of as a bargaining chip. And it could end up giving the left even some of what they want.
Yeah, that seems to be an area that even some of the more hawkish immigration groups like the Center for Immigration Studies are willing to let happen, so long as other things like clamping down on illegal immigration at the border, certainly E-Verify, but they also want to see some of that RAISE Act that we heard about weeks ago to make sure that gets in, limiting legal immigration in terms of people who can speak English, can provide for themselves, and won't be dependent on the government for assistance. So we'll see how this all plays out soon. But let's move on to the bad martini. And this is a double-barreled bad martini. And Alexander, it's almost like we're going back in time here a few months, because once again, we're talking about James Comey. We're talking about the FBI. Katie Pavlich over at Town Hall broke this story, I believe. She writes, according to new transcripts released by the Senate Judiciary Committee Thursday afternoon, former FBI Director James Comey made the decision not to refer then-Democrat presidential candidate Hillary Clinton for prosecution long before ever interviewing key witnesses. Members of the committee allege Comey made the decision months before FBI agents were finished with the criminal investigation into her mishandling of classified information during her time as Secretary of State. In this letter, Chuck Grassley and Lindsey Graham write, quote, according to the unredacted portions of the transcripts, it appears that in April or early May of 2016, Mr. Comey had already decided that he would issue a statement exonerating Secretary Clinton. That was long before FBI agents finished their work. Mr. Comey even circulated an early draft statement to select members of senior FBI leadership. The outcome of an investigation should not be prejudged while FBI agents are still hard at work trying to gather the facts, the letter says. It goes on to say, conclusion first, fact gathering second. That's no way to run an investigation. The FBI should be held to a higher standard than that, especially in a matter of such great public interest and controversy. And of course, Alexandra, this follows on the heels of the current FBI regime of Christopher Wray and others denying a lawyer FBI files related to the Hillary Clinton email investigation. This guy was trying to get Mrs. Clinton and her personal attorneys disbarred for the way she handled her official emails. But the FBI said, quote, you have not sufficiently demonstrated that the public's interest in disclosure outweighs personal privacy interests of the subject. So it's amazing. Yeah. But the Boy Scout is having a few more merit badges ripped off the uniform here, it appears, with James Comey.
It's absolutely appalling. I mean, the fact that Comey would just sort of end this investigation seems to confirm that he was really politically motivated all along. And that's what we suspected when he ended up coming out with the decision that he came out with. But knowing now that he had made that decision before even looking at the evidence seems to prove definitively that his motivation was to kind of cover things up. And, you know, if not explicitly illegal, it's certainly not a prudent decision as the director of the FBI. And, you know, the fact that Clinton was running for office, I think, compounds the problem because she could very easily have been the president. And this whole scandal would have been totally brushed under the rug by the FBI. And it looks like the current FBI is really really no better.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you have the point where you don't want to be the factor in how an election turns out. But if criminal activity has taken place, it does need to be investigated, or at least alleged criminal behavior, and to reach this conclusion prior to actually investigating the facts is really a dereliction of duty. And I'm slightly impressed with President Trump today only devoting one tweet to this, saying, quote, wow, looks like James Comey exonerated Hillary Clinton long before the investigation was over, and so much more. Not sure what that refers to. A rigged system, exclamation point. So
he showed admirable restraint, I think.
Yes. There's no capital letters. There's no sad.
No crooked Hillary.
No crooked Hillary. And there's only one exclamation point in the whole thing. So wow. Restraint, I think, is right. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to our crazy martini now, Alexandra. And this is one courtesy of National Review, your colleague Kat Timp reporting on this a little bit earlier in the week. And we've talked about, you know, folks trying to cave into the liberal left, hoping to assuage their concerns over culture and faith and to politics. And this is just the latest step in the slippery slope. The headline here is Catholic school removes Jesus Mary statues because they're, quote, alienating to non-Catholics. Jesus Christ and Mary are the latest victims of the mass statue removing frenzy. The article says the San Domenico School, the first Catholic school in California, has removed all but 18 of its 180 religious statues in an effort to be more inclusive and forward-looking. A lot of parents are upset about this, but the head of the school here, a woman named Cecily Stock, said that the school is an independent one, as well as a Catholic school, and a whopping 80% of the school's students do not identify as Catholic, and that the move was simply meant to make the campus more attractive and inclusive to students of other faiths. So, Alexandra, I guess they're trying to have a foot in both worlds here, and nobody's happy about it, so they should probably just make a decision and move on. But still having a Catholic heritage while trying to not offend anyone by actually having some indications that you are Catholic seems to be a bit counterproductive.
You know, I can't even wrap my head around this. They say it's forward-looking, but forward-looking to what exactly? There's sort of a school where you say you're Catholic and nothing about you is actually Catholic. I don't see people know they're choosing to go to a Catholic school, right? Or that the parents know they're sending their kids to a Catholic school. Presumably they're doing that for a reason, and it may not be because they're Catholic. Looking at the numbers, it seems like a lot of these kids aren't, but they chose to be there. And You know, if you're going to call yourself Catholic, some things have to stick around. That doesn't mean you have to, you know, require kids to go to Mass every day or something. But at least sort of respect the fact that the Catholic faith has statues of Jesus and has statues of Mary, because that's a very crucial part of what it means to be Catholic, is to honor these people who are the, you know, the cornerstone of the faith, right? I think it just sort of fits right in with this trend we see in higher education too, where Catholic schools are just kind of looking to conform to the culture rather than, you know, be different, which in my opinion is what the Catholic Church is called to do. It's not really doing its job if it's just looking to fit in.
Does this surprise you? It seems like most of the time, and I know you're a Notre Dame grad, that Catholic schools don't generally cave into the cultural trends. I guess you could probably stir up some controversy about the Pope himself and his views on climate change and some other things. But in terms of institutions within the United States, usually they're not trying to hide who they are.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, I think you can see a wide spectrum of how different schools interpret what it means to be Catholic, but you don't usually see them, you know, ripping down statues of Jesus and Mary. They might say, they might teach things that sort of go against the Orthodox teachings of the church, and that's plenty troubling in my book. But the idea that you just would sort of remove overt displays of Catholicism because it might offend people, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Speaking of Notre Dame, college football starts this weekend. Alexandra, how are the Fighting Irish going to do? I'm a Michigan fan,
boy.
So I'm hoping it's not well. But
oh, no, I'm glad I didn't find that on a Wednesday. I would have had a hard time. No, I mean, we're playing Temple on Saturday. I wish I could be there, but our home opener, I'm hoping it'll be okay. We weren't ranked on any of the lists. Probably don't deserve to be, but I'm still hoping for the best.
Yeah, it was a difficult year for the Fighting Irish last year. Didn't make a bowl. Michigan starts with a tough one against Florida at the Dallas Cowboys home stadium. I hope they win. I'm not sure they deserve to win because they've decided to go all maize, which means they're going to be bright yellow from toe to top of helmet, apparently.
Oh, boy.
So that's going to be very difficult to watch. And so if it doesn't go well, they haven't worn these uniforms like this since 1928. Let's hope it's a lot longer than that again before they have to wear them again, win or lose, quite frankly, because I like their uniforms normally. Alexandra, great to have you with us. Thanks so much for filling in, and I'm sure we'll be talking down the road.
Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure being with you.
Thanks so much. Alexandra DeSanctis in for Jim Garrity. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And once again, a quick reminder that we are off in terms of new podcasts next week. We will be posting some best ofs Tuesday through Friday of next week. And then on Monday, September the 11th, Jim and I will return with brand new, fresh podcasts of the Three Martini Lunch. Have a great Labor Day weekend. Have a great week. And we'll talk to you soon.